Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
I'm going to speak to you today concerning the responsibility of being a Christian. The responsibility of being a Christian. I'm a repeater. I'm doing this purposely because I want to get into our spirit. The responsibility of being a Christian. And Pastor Steve asked, and we shared with one another, and it was questions that he asked me. And one of the questions he asked was, what can we do? As Christians, what can we do? Not black, not white, not yellow, not red, but what can we do as a people? What can we do as Christians? All of us here are Christians. And there may be someone who is not a Christian today, but you can leave being a Christian. We have a responsibility. And so the Lord keeps bringing this back to me, and I'm adding this to my message. It wasn't in my message, but as I was getting ready this morning, the Lord told me to bring this up also. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, and you're going to do it tonight, and you've been doing it, and we're doing it, and Christians everywhere are praying. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, number one, we have to humble ourselves, humble themselves. Then after you humble yourself, we're to pray. And after we pray, we're to seek his face. And in seeking his face, we're to turn from our wicked ways. Then he said he will hear from heaven, and he will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. We have a responsibility. And many times as Christians, we know this scripture, and we have prayer vigils, and we bring this scripture up, and we talk about it, and we preach about it, we sing about it. But the thing is, we have to do it. And we have to do it consistently. We'll do it when things like this, the coronavirus, and when things hit us, we'll come together and pray. But that has to continue. And if we continue to seek God's face, he said that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the secret right there. My message is kind of going different than what I planned. But that's the secret right there. It's being consistent. We as Christians, and the Lord had to show this to me some years ago. He said the reason we don't receive the things we're asking for sometimes because we pray, we seek the Lord, we do everything that scripture says, but it's not consistent. And Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Then you keep on reading. Jesus says, he explains it. He said, he that asketh it, which means continue, seek it, which is continue, knock it, which is continue. It has to continue to be. We're asking God, I heard it in the prayer this morning, we're asking God to lift this virus. We're asking God to intervene in this. And we believe that God is going to do it. But now when he does it, and we're praying that he does, then don't go back to our old ways. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on praying. But you know what? It's discipline. We do it when we feel it. But when you don't feel it, still do it. Still seek the Lord. I don't feel like praying today. No, take time to pray. Take time to read your word. Take time to seek the face of the Lord. And if we do this, we will see God turn. All we have to do is read our Bible. God was going to destroy Nineveh. But God touched Jonah and told him, go and tell them to repent. And they prayed and they sought the Lord. That's an old term, sought. They sought the Lord. And in doing so, they fasted and they prayed. And God turned it. And Jonah got upset because he didn't want God to turn it. But the people prayed. Even the animals couldn't eat. When you see God's face, God will move on our behalf. So the responsibility of being a Christian. We're going to go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, 13, 14, and 16 verse we'll be speaking from on today. And it reads, you are the salt of the earth. He's talking to us as Christians. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the season. But if the salt has lost its savor, which is its flavor, how many like to eat your food and don't put no salt on it? How many? I don't see nobody. Oh, no salt? Okay, that's good. But do you use some type of seasoning? Do you use some type of seasoning? Some type of seasoning. We all want some seasoning. Now, we know too much salt is not good. But God has, there's a point in this. We don't like to eat food. Thank you for doing that. We don't like to eat food without no flavor. Am I right? Come on, talk to me. We want some flavor in our food. Well, the Lord says, you are the salt. Whether it's seasoned salt, whether it's natural, natural herbs, whatever it is, you want to add something to that because you want some flavor from what you're eating. Well, God said that you are the flavor. You are the season. You are the one who makes things better. You're the one to add salt. You're the one to change things. You have that responsibility. I don't want that responsibility. Yes, God needs you because God is not, he is here, but he's here and he dwells within us. Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father. But the Father's going to send back another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he's going to dwell in you. And he's going to do the work that I'm doing in you. So you are the flavor, you are the salt, you are the seasoning. Wherewith shall it be salted? Without no salt, it's not going to be no flavor. It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Other words, if there's no seasoning, it is no good. The world needs us. That's your responsibility. They need you. Each of you that's in this room, they need you. The president cannot fix it. The governors, they cannot fix it. We need them, but they can't fix it. We pray for them, but they can't do it. Only way they can do it is they line up with God. And many times, they're not going to give God the honor, the respect, the reverence, but it's for you to pray for them that God will lead them and touch them, and they won't even know God is doing it. They think it's them, but we know it's God. Amen? He said, you are the light of the world. Jesus is putting the responsibility on us, and if we don't get nothing from this message on the day, that's what I want us to receive, and that's what the Lord wants you to receive. You have this responsibility. Whatever corner you stand, whatever neighborhood you live, community, wherever you are, you're to let your light shine. Not make it shine, but let it shine. We are a city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Everyone is looking at us as Christians. They may not want us around, but when things happen, they're going to come to you. When they need answers, they're going to come to you. When they need prayer, they're going to come. They don't need us, but when things hit, they come into you. What do you think? How do you feel? What can I do? They going to, and we say, oh, no, not me. No, they need to hear your praise and worship outside of the building. They need to see us praising God and magnifying God and exalting God and loving God and walking with God. They need to see that after we leave the walls of the church, they need to see this because we are the light. We are the city. They look into us. We don't have the answer, but God has the answer. So because we're connected with him, we have the answers. Not just Pastor Steve have the answer. You as Christians, you have the answer. It's in the word of God, but we have to get in his word and find out what the answer is. The 16th verse says, let your light so shine before men. It says men, but it means everyone, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They need to see. Faith without works is what? Thank you. You know your Bible. Oh, I love God. I love God. But you see your brother, your sister need to be clothed and you don't get them clothed. It don't matter what color they are. It don't matter what community they live in. They are your brother. Even if you don't like them, they're still your brother and they're your sister. I'm to love everyone, but I don't have to like everyone. Break that down. Let's be real. There are some things about me you may not like. Am I right? But you still love me. Amen? My wife loves me and I love her. I'm a very realistic person. I love my wife and she loves me, but she do not like everything about me. Now I hit it home. Whoever's married in here, you love your wife, you love your husband, do you like everything about them? Can I see? Do you like everything about Vicky? Do you like everything? Come on, be honest. Pastor C said, I feel like he's at home today. Yeah, I'm at home. I'm at home away from home. So we may not like everything, but we love the person. If they have a need, a desire, something we can do, we're there for them. Color, where they live, status, position, none of that matters. We minister to the need of the people. Thank you for a few weeks ago when you had your giveaway, and Pastor C said, come out. We want you to have some. And I was going to bring my car. He said, no, you need more than a car. So I brought the church van, and we loaded up, and we took it back to Wichita. And some of the members of the church and other people outside of the church enjoyed it. And the produce was, I mean, it was just beautiful. I want to almost take a picture of it. It was so beautiful. No matter where you live, what's going on, who you give it to. He didn't say, who you going to give it to? No, here it is. You, my brother, you, my sister, they blessed us. We want to bless you. That's what it's about. It's reaching out, loving each other, and doing it for real. Pastor Steve and I was friends before the coronavirus. So no one can say, well, now they're coming together. No, we was together already. Amen. You're my brother, you're my sister, and we love each other. But people got to see us loving. We as Christians, move on. We as Christians have a great responsibility, as Jesus taught us in Matthew, the 5th chapter. I would encourage you to read the entire chapter. There's no way I can cover it all today. It would take too much time. But when you go home, that's what I would like you to do. That's your homework. Study the whole 5th chapter of Matthew. It's talking about our attitude and having the right type of attitude and having an attitude like Jesus and being like him. So read the whole chapter when you get home. Amen. Let that be your homework. Study it. And Jesus will confirm his teaching concerning what he's saying in the few verses I'm going to share with you on today. He wants us to have the right attitude because we have a responsibility. And if people don't see us having the right attitude, we cannot win them to Christ. In other words, Jesus, in the Beatitudes, Jesus is saying, have the right attitude. When you study the whole chapter, he's telling you to have the right attitude. He's teaching us how to treat others. Because we are the salt of the earth. We are the season. You are the light of the world. You are the city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. And everyone's eyes are upon you. Uh-oh, listen to this. We are living epistles read of men. I was sharing with Pastor Steve, people are reading us. They read us before they read their Bible. And then when they read their Bible, we want our lives to confirm what the word says. In that 5th chapter, Jesus is teaching them how to love your neighbor when they don't treat you right. He's teaching us not to retaliate, not to act in the way that they're acting. Amen? Ask yourself a question. Do your life or do my life exemplify the word of God? Are we showing and illustrating by example what a Christian is? Remember, the responsibility is upon us. We are the mirrors that reflects the image of Christ. When you look in a mirror, that's a reflection of you. Amen? And sometimes it's good to get a full mirror. You know, some of you all in your home, you have the full mirror, and you may have a mirror that goes all across the wall where you can just see everything. Because if you have a half mirror, you don't see all of you, you just see some of you. But it's a reflection of who you are. And what you see in that mirror, that's who you are. You may say, oh, I'm this, I'm that, but that mirror shows you who you are. And I had one friend, please excuse me for getting ready to say this. I had one friend, he said, sometimes we think we all are that and a bag of chips. He said, but when you think you all of that, take all your clothes off and look in that mirror and that's you without clothes. It's a reflection of who you are. Well, we want people to see the right reflection. We want people to see Jesus. But when they see us and our attitudes and our hatred and our resentment and our dislikes and our not forgiving, that's not reflecting Christ. When me and Steve cannot walk together, but we say and we love each other, that's not reflecting Christ. When we can't come together and have a joint service and have a wonderful time, that's not reflecting Christ. Some time ago, our church and some other churches outside of First Church, we came together, white, blacks. I mean, we just had a good time. We came together. And Ella Ball said, he's here today, a lot of times when you have church services like that, joint service, my choir sing and then your choir sing, my people from my church speak and then someone from the other church speak. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But Ella Ball said, you know what? When it's time to come to worship, praise and worship, we're not going to do First Church in this church. He said, we're going to do it together. Come on, give him a hand. Together. So Pastor Steve and I, as time and God give us, we're going to do some things together. Do y'all want to do some things together? That is what God is calling for us to come together to show the world. The world said, what should we do? Show them how to come together. Show them how to love one another. Show them that we may be different races, different colors and all this, but how we can come together and praise God. Our culture is different. Am I right? The way we was brought up in some things, it may be different. But come as one when it comes to the things of God. Amen? God is about diversities. But we have to show people how to be diverse. All right, move on. In the above chapter, the Beatitudes teach us that we are blessed even in hard times because we strive to have the right attitude. Notice I said we strive. We don't always have the right attitude, but we strive to have the right attitude. If you're having a problem forgiving somebody, we pray and we say, Lord, help me to forgive them. Help me to love them. Help me to do whatever your word has told me to do. Lord, I cannot do it of myself. That's why I have you to empower me and to help me and to strengthen me. Some people was raised to be prejudiced. They were raised certain ways. I'm trying to watch my words. They was raised. They were told that all white people is this way. All black people is this way. All Indians are this way. But you have to find out yourself and learn through God's word that God created all of us equal and we all come from the same blood. Then as you read God's word, if you raise a certain way, that's just the way you go. I worked at a company and the people I worked with, a lot of them said, Don, we've never been around black people. And we thought, and he asked me one day, he said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yes. So he asked me, he said, I've never seen people like you, David, and I have another friend like you all. And he was wondering, is there any others like you all? And I let him know there's many. Everyone is not the same. There's good people and we're not the only good people. Amen? But you have to let your light shine. And there's people that have prejudice problems on both sides and all sides. It's something that comes up sometime in us, but then God's word, that's what God's word is there for, is to help us and to strengthen us and to help us and tell us what the truth is. But the only way we're going to know what truth is, we have to get in God's word, and then when God's word tells us what to do, do it. Be kind. Be loving. Be compassionate. Be meek. These are the qualities as we as Christians should have. These qualities, we should honor the qualities that God has told us to have by doing what God has given us to be and to do. So be kind, be meek, be compassionate toward all people. Is God compassionate toward us? I seen it on the screen this morning. It's of his mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. And you know how you love people? This is how you love people. You think about God's compassion. You think about God's love. You think about God's mercy. Whew. You think about God's forgiveness towards you. That person you're having a problem forgiving and loving and doing what God has told you, just think about how God loved you. Think of how many times you failed since you've been a Christian, but God picked you up and he loved you. Think about how he washed you from your sins, from your filth, from the things, your habits, from your addictions. That person who's dealing with addictions, that homosexual, God don't love the lifestyle. He loves the person, but he don't love the lifestyle. Neither do we, but we love the person. We have to know how to separate and let them know what you're doing is not right, but there's a time. You may not say it when you first meet them. First, love them. Feed them. Clothe them. And then you tell them God loves them, but first they need to see your love. We was out doing street ministry one day, and we told a brother that God loved him, and he let us know, me and Taiwan. He said to us, he said, oh, that's what everyone said, God loved me. What about you? Do you love me? Love people first. And then after you love them, then tell them the truth. Tell them what God's word said, but say it with compassion. Say it with love. Love them like the Lord has loved you. Amen? So that's what we have to do. We have to have the right attitude. Be humble. Be meek. Be loving. We are to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Our desire is to do what's right with a pure heart. We are to be peacemakers because we are the children of God. There's a lot of protesting going on, and there's nothing wrong with protesting, but make sure that when we do it, let's do it peacefully. Amen? And it's not about no just black life matters. No, all life matters. All life matters. And when they said, my son explained that to me, he said, black life matters too. He said, that's what I mean when I say it. He's saying, I matter too. Well, you know what? And I do. But you also matter. We all matter to God. We're all important to God. God loves all of us. And God wants us to love each other. Amen? He wants us to be peacemakers. Matthew, the fifth chapter, Jesus is teaching us how to love in unlovable conditions. Listen to this. How to turn the other cheek. Please read it because I don't have time to explain it all. How not to retaliate, but be loving. Here it is again. Kind, meek, humble, and uncomfortable situations. We must show the world how to stand for righteousness in a peaceful way. There's a way, and we must show them. They don't have the strategy. They don't know how to do it. But we have to show them how you can do it and do it peacefully. Loving, compassionate, forgiving. For we are the children of God. We love all people because we all realize we all were made in the likeness and the image of God. Therefore, we are compassionate toward others as God has been toward us. No one is better than no one else. Amen? There was a young man I was working with one day, and I could just sense that he thought that he was better than I was. So one day he came down to my room, and I asked him a question. Now, when you ask somebody a question, they answer may not answer the way you want them to answer. Don't get mad at them, because you asked them. So I asked him, I said, do you think you're better than I am? And I already knew, I felt like I knew, and he said, yes. So I looked at him just like I'm looking at you. I said, you're not. You're not better than I am. I'm not better than you are. I said, even the president at that time of the United States is not better than I am. He may live in the White House. He may have better clothes. If something happened and he passed, he may have a nicer casket. They may have more flowers. He may have all of that. But when it comes down to it, he's still no better than I am, and I'm no better than he is. Why is that? We all have red blood. God created all of us in his likeness, whether you like it or not, and his image. You're like God. I'm like God. He made me in his image. He made you in his image. So therefore, that makes us one, whether you like it or not. Now, with that, I'm bringing it to a close. With that, we don't walk around with a peacock spirit. But you do need to know who you are. You do need to know your identity. It has nothing to do black, white, yellow, brown. It has nothing to do with that. Know your identity. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You are a called out people. Everyone that's in this room, you are all of that. You are the light. You are the salt. You are the city. All of us are. All of us are. So know who you are and don't let nobody take that from you. Woo. Lamentations 3:22-23, and it reminds us, I already said it, but it said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God is faithful to us. Is God faithful to you? Let's be faithful to God. How are we faithful to God? By taking on the responsibility he has given us, by embracing the responsibility he has given us, by loving others as God have loved us. I'm closing with this. God has not failed us, and we should strive not to fail one another with the responsibilities that the Lord has given us as being Christians. I love my wife, and sometimes I fail her, but I strive not to fail her. You know why? Because I love her. She loves me. Amen? And sometimes she may not do everything I want to do or do it the way I think she should do it. But you know what? I've been married to her long enough to know that she loves me. And there's been times she said, don't you know that I love you? Don't you know because I say what I say is because I love you? Even if I don't say it the way you want me to say it, I'm not saying it to hurt you. Because we love one another. So we will sometimes hurt each other, not intentionally, but that's being human. But in it, we love one another, we forgive one another, we're compassionate for one another, and we have mercy for one another because we love one another. You know what? I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. Woo. And we all need God. We are all his children of the promised land, which is heaven. There's a song, Ella Bossmaker could sing it, but we won't sing it today. And it's old. I don't know if anyone knows it in here. It said, we all God's children, children from the promised land. All of us are God's children. Amen? From the promised land. And that promised land is I'm desiring to go to and you want to go to is heaven. How many want to go to heaven? Read about it. Read Revelation 21. Read Revelation 22. Read about the New Jerusalem. Read about where we're going. Read Revelation, which says all kindreds, all people from all nationalities going to go up together. Read about it. But to go up together, we got to be together now. Let's go up together where we will be one, loving and enjoying God together in our heavenly home. He has prepared for you and for me. But we cannot do it unless we meet our responsibilities. Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for this time that you have given us, oh God. We thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to be able to speak to these the people that we're speaking to on today. And Lord, I first speak into myself before I speak to anyone else. For your word came to me first, oh God. Help us, oh God, to be responsible Christians. Help us to let our light shine. Help us to be the salt of the earth that you have called for us to be. Help us to be all that your word has given us to be, oh God. And Lord, as we study your word, Lord, help us to be doers of your word. For Lord, you said in your word that if we're hearers only, we're deceiving ourselves. Lord, help us to show others how to love, how to be peaceful, how to be loving, how to be meek, how to be humble, how to be pure, how to be honest, how to be all that you call for us to be. And Lord, we realize we cannot do it of ourselves. We can only do it through the Christ which strengthens us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.